sometimes just gotta say fuck everything. Check.
Damn, Menace got beats.
Not just fuck everything.
So what you mean?
But fuck everything that get in your way.
True.
Feel me?
I do.
I'm not just talking.
I hear you.
Okay. Listen. I don't wanna be the one who doing me wrong. A lot of y'all out and taking chances like a free song. Okay. My stance is kinda weak, so my support is what I lean on. Yeah. I got the major key, so I just wanna get my me on. Think I'm getting nowhere in this car though. If I had the money, I would go to where the stars go. Fill my tank with diesel till the car is fully see-through. And just hope when it explode, they play it back just like a preview of it. Maybe play it back like it's a movie. I'm a world star rookie, got my empire like Cookie. But they love you, then they hate you. I'm supposed to think I'm lucky, like I woke up early morning and the talent suddenly struck me. I ain't tripping, no better yet, I ain't slipping. Let someone up in my place, but we ain't travel equal distance now. How I live to let it go down in my book. I can't retire as a great from shocking everybody. Look, shit, I know.
Yeah, yeah. What it take to survive, you know the harder I strive. They just won't see me fall, you know I've been through it all. Got my dreams on the side, so just give me a call. Or just give me it all, what it take to survive, you know the harder I strive. They just won't see me fall, you know I've been through it all. Got my dreams on the side, so just give me a call. Or just give me it all.
You know it's crazy, half the time I still believe. Though that everything and everyone I touch is still my people. Never trusted really or disgusted, I don't need to. More than likely, I'm not thinking right, see, I don't need to. Cause I'm here and got my mind made up. I would never push rewind on this time saved up. The world is in my hands, so why the crime rate up? Are you fighting for your rights? Where is your time? Wake up. I'm just looking at these people, notice it's illegal. How we steady focus on that hate, ignoring other people. Everybody here amongst us land a sandwich had a purpose. How about y'all support the ones you're riding with and hope it's worth it?
Yeah.
But if you don't believe in living heavily, I can't expect the best of what you want if it's ahead of me. Big dogs in this world will cheat you up just like it's pedigree. Yeah. Couple blood stains, who ain't afraid to catch a felony. But no, I'ma stay grinding until the death of me. I wish there was a way to show the world what's really left for me. All comes from the music. Ask me why I lose it. People that I'm talking to got rights, so surely they abuse it. I just wanna say I'm done for nice, so back down to the music. I just wanna say I'm living right, so back down to the music. Yeah, yeah. I just wanna say I'm living right, so back down to the music. And I know.
Yeah, what it takes to survive. I strive, they just won't see me fall. You know I've been through it all. Got my dreams on the side, so just give me a call. Or just give me it all, what it take to survive, you know the harder I strive. They just won't see me fall, you know I've been through it all. Got my dreams on the side, so just give me a call. Or just give me it all.
What's up, y'all? It's your girl, Lady Lou. You already know this is Music Over Poverty Podcast. Tonight's topic is Black women killing the motherhood culture in our communities. Let me know what you think about it. I have my special guest.
Hi, Puff Daddy.
And
Emily Ladybug. What up, though? Didn't anything.
I can't. So, guys, just tune in. We'll be going. So, okay, so I just started out. What is your reason? Like, why do you think that this thing is taking place? Like, why do you think that Black women are becoming a part of the problem more so of the solution in our communities? Because a lot of us are a part of the problem. Some of us are not out for the culture or down for the cause. I think it's a mixture of both. I think we have like 50-50 of strong women, and then the other 50 are not really clear on what their positions or places as a Black woman, especially in America or in our communities. And I think some of it is because of the music, one, and just the pure images that's related to us. Sex is always related to us. Like, why is it that?
We're always objectified.
Yeah. So why do you think that, like, what what could we possibly do as Black women to make other sisters aware of their actions and how they're affecting us as a culture and as mothers? Because we're all moms here.
Right.
And then we all have daughters. And I don't think that any of us are really enjoy the fact that our daughters are hoes, bitches, sluts, or whatever. My daughter's not going on the slut walk. It's not happening. So yeah.
Triple marathon.
This is Lady Lou, and this is Musical with Poverty Podcast, and we're here with my special guest, Puff and Emily E. And we are talking about Black women, you know, and their actions and how they're being detrimental to the Black culture. So I'm letting Puff speak now because I want to get her view and outlook on things.
Well, I'm going to just start off by saying Black women, as we're most of us, I can't really speak for all Black women, but most Black women, especially women who are driven by our music culture and women who are just driven by TV and basically the way that society has laid out what's okay and what's right and what's wrong, I feel like it actually started with women who were like escorts and women who were there for basically to be anything for like rappers or entertainers. Basically the entertainers, they, you know, had the call girls, and those girls, if you actually look at our culture and look at society, those girls have like been pushed to the forefront, and they are girls who are being looked up to nowadays. Like if you look at the Instagram models, I mean, I don't want to call them, you know what I mean, any names or anything, but most of them are actually selling, you know, their body or something or whatever. Like, you know what
they
I mean?
They're not. They got cash apps.
I mean, I'm just saying,
honestly,
I don't know what they selling, but at the end of the day, I just feel like those type of women have been pushed to the forefront, and they have been like, just what society's like, oh, we look up to her, she's cool, you know what I'm saying? So when they're out there and like the Love and Hip Hop, I hate to, you know what I mean, like say names, but Love and Hip Hop definitely gave us a bad name too, and the rest of the crazy shows that just show women just acting out, acting crazy, and I just feel like that's where it came from.
Well, sis, on this podcast, Musical for Poverty, Lady, you don't sugarcoat the goddamn thing. Shout out to Mona Lee, Mona Scott, because you are a part of the problem. Period. And I'm not saying I don't watch it. I'm just saying, like, not to be hypocritical or biased or whatever, but in some parts it is entertaining for my own flesh or whatever. And that's what I've learned. Like, we all have our own, what do you call it, satisfactions or urges or whatever. Everybody has their own reasons of why they watch it. That doesn't separate the fact that Black women are shown in a negative light, in a negative standpoint. And Mona being a Black woman, you know, it seems like the storylines just get worse. It's showing unhealthy relationships. It's showing abusive relationships. It's also showing the strippers and the stripper turned rappers and those, like those things of that nature. Like, a lot of people have, I'm going to use Cardi B as an example. A lot of people have great things to say about her. A lot of people have negative things to say about her. With me, I have nothing negative to say about Cardi B, only because she turned a negative into a positive. That's how I look at it. One, because I came from the streets, and I know exactly what can happen when you're pushed out in the streets that young, as a teenager. So, in that point, a lot of people say, oh, it's other resources or it's other ways to go about doing things. But when it's not installed in you, and you, like she said, my mom put me out straight like that. And how many of us told we were getting out the house at 18? Mm. A lot of us were thrown on the streets at 18 with no real no real knowledge, no real money, you know, handling skills, money managing skills, not even knowing how to completely hold up a job.
Right.
You know, so put her going into the strip club, and it just so happens now, you know, her daughter may never have to experience poverty, may never know what a strip club is like, you know? So I just look at it like, she was somebody that turned a negative into a positive, and not all sisters come out of the strip club.
I feel like we gotta make being a good woman cool again. Like,
period.
I mean, honestly, like, okay, us being independent and not, you know, really caring about how, you know, niggas act, it's just like, that's cool, but at the end of the day, like, you, like, to make babies, you gotta get along with these niggas. Like, you know what I'm saying? So I just feel like
we gotta
bite that bullet and just be like, you know, sometimes we gonna have to work it out with these guys out here. Like, I mean, it's hard to, what you say? You saying?
I'm getting ready to say, because some of these niggas just ain't shit.
They really not.
It's sad.
But if we talking about niggas ain't shit, a lot of women ain't shit either, though.
At all.
Real stuff.
At all. But another thing is, it goes back to cultural programming and, like... It just make it seem like women just out here doing... bed and like we just down and out when really we kind of trying to get it together.
And I think what it is, like you said, the cultural programming, I think is because we are small sized down. So like the media and the thing of big, and a lot of us doesn't leave Philadelphia. So if you don't leave Philadelphia, you don't leave your environment, you don't see nothing different, you're going to think that the women around you and the women that you see on a regular basis is how a woman's supposed to be, how a woman's supposed to act. That's not the case, because all of us are not locked up. All of us are not knocked up without a baby father. Mm-hmm. That's not the case in the Black community. This is something that is pushed in front of us to make us believe that. Because we have a lot of Black women that are doing a lot of great things, you know, brothers that are college professors and college grads and have degrees and, you know, running businesses and things like that. The entrepreneurs in Philadelphia, we're over flooded with entrepreneurs right now.
Absolutely.
Shout out to everybody in Philly that's getting it on their own Black market. So that's not the case. I think as Black women, we just need to really get our shit together as a whole, because a lot of us were programmed to not even respect our men. I think it starts there as well. Mm-hmm. So it's a back and forth thing. Like, we don't respect them, they don't respect us. Mm-hmm. It's kind of broken there. Like, fuck that nigga, I'ma fuck his friend. Fuck that bitch, I'ma fuck her sister. She could bring her sister too. Like, what the?
What
the fuck? Like, you're not fucking me and my sister, bro.
I hate the dog guys, but like, honestly, men started this shit. Like, to be honest, they started this shit. Like, if, like, I can't say all of us was good women from 19 something, but we, like, come on, we wasn't this bad. Like, over time, I feel like we got worse and worse, and I feel like men really brought us to our breaking point where we gotta be like Megan Thee Stallion or something. I mean, fuck these niggas, I'm about to do. But I love Megan Thee Stallion, and I feel like she, like, you could call it what you want, but I feel like her empowerment and upliftment for women is amazing. Like, although, yeah, she wear booty shorts, whatever, who don't? Everybody want to wear booty shorts. If I could walk around naked, I would.
Okay.
But that's just me.
Okay.
But anyways, I feel like these men, like, they come at us and they, like, they give us shit, but they expect us to, you know what I mean, take it and do something with it. Like, we can't do nothing with nothing. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Go ahead, Anthony.
I want to end it right here.
Yes.
Everybody has excellent points. Definitely. True to the same. I'm going to piggyback off of both of y'all. Y'all definitely are correct. I'm going to look at it from my angle. And my angle, what I'm seeing is that a lot of the stuff started way back in the day with how you were raised, keeping stuff in the family, which caused them to have a breakdown mentally. Now you got to break down mentally. Now you got to go out here in these streets and deal with the next man who's a boy who's out here taunting you and stuff like that. So now you don't have high self-esteem anymore, right? So now you got to deal with, I don't have high self-esteem. I'm going through whatever I'm going through at home. I'm going through whatever I'm going through at school. Now my mom told me I got to get out. Now what am I going to do? Well, look at my mom. She got this man running in and that man running in. And also saying, you don't let no man come in and dictate this and dictate that. So now you got that issue. So now you're looking at your mom like, okay, well, mom, you telling me not to let this man dictate this and to have him dictate that. And anytime he comes to see you, he needs to have money because he has to pay.
Mm-hmm.
But what are you teaching her? Are you really telling her that a man is supposed to provide? Or are you telling him that anytime he comes to see you, he has to pay to play? I'm confused. What are you trying to tell this child? So now you got that environment. Now we got, let's say, this 17, 18-year-old who's now out of high school. Mama told her to get out. Probably was touched by a cousin, uncle, aunt, brother, and whoever.
Somebody.
Okay. And now she's faced with the life. So what am I going to do? Now, I'm looking at the videos, everybody pop locking. That looks like mad money. What's popping in these videos? Back in the day, all I seen was girls in the strip club. But even in that, me and Whitney was just watching videos earlier today, and we was just comparing how the videos today is still different from the videos back then, because the videos back then, the girls still had on clothes. They had long
holy clothes.
Okay. They had their own like breasts, their own butt, but they still dancing. You didn't really see them in the strip clubs. I don't know when the heck they started filming videos in the strip clubs, but it made it okay. So now this 18-year-old thinks, oh, okay, well, they do it in the videos, it's okay. So maybe... when you enter into that life, now you got this life because you don't have no money, you want to make it work. Mm-hmm. Now... also, I want to feed off of how many women did stripping to finish school. Mm. See, back then, it
speaking
was...
Speaking of Megan.
Back then, it was, I'm doing this to make my ends meet. It don't even got to do with the next man. It's just trying to make my ends meet to get an education. So, okay, we got that sector. But then we got the other sector as they get lost in the sauce. Mm-hmm. I started to do this so I can make money to finish school. But then they seen that the money was real good. But then they get caught up because they don't know really about that life. So what that happens? They got caught up with the drugs. Because most women that strip, they smoke or they snort. Okay? And the only reason why they do that is so they can take the edge off. Because a lot of them, this is not where they wanted to go. So now they got to take the edge off. Now, not only you are a stripper, now you're drinking, now you're doing drugs, and now your whole thing is shut down. Now you're not the person that you walk into the party. Now you're raising the next person. Guess what? Now you run into your girlfriend going through saying, oh, girl, come on, let's go dance. Mm-hmm. Okay, and you pull the next one and the next one and the next one. And then guess what? It became a trend. Now it's okay to go pop in your coochie to go get some bread from a nigga. Or it's okay to be on a back page to get some money from some nigga. Because all the way down to the end of the line, back to the beginning, it started with your mama who said, don't let this man come out and come in your house without paying for something.
Mm-hmm. Period.
Doing something.
I was told that.
I was told that by my own dad. I'm scared for everybody.
I was definitely told that. That one, I think it was the generation we came up in, the men did provide. We never,
it was a difference.
We didn't really have to ask them to do so. It was something that came naturally. So now that, you know, when we had, you know, like when the welfare programs started, the housing and things like that started, like after the war ended and all these programs were put in place, you know, I think what it would start breaking the black man down, the black family down, was not just slavery. It continued. The generational curses continue. So now that you have free housing, free money, free food, you no longer need the black man. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they gave you these three things, necessities, and told you, now you have to discard the black man. What black women didn't understand, or I don't think what they picked up at that time or realized, is that they were discarding the entire community. Mm-hmm. They were discarding the protectors of the community. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? So, when you discarded the black man, you discarded him not only physically, but mentally as well. So now you got this, oh, niggas ain't shit. Or now you have, oh, I make more money than him. Like, I see shit on the internet where it be like, oh, if she makes such and such money, she ain't gonna listen to you, bro.
Bro, I've heard that.
Like, who fucking created, who started this? So it's basically like, my personal opinion, I feel like the feminist movement created this split between the black man and the black woman. We know it started with the government, but the thing that kept pushing it was this feminist movement. So why black women are feminists, I can't fathom that idea. Because I'm trying to figure out, what the fuck does the black man have in America that you do not?
I had this argument with the African woman of why black women is feminist, and I broke literally everything down, and she could not fathom why. It's not okay but then again, she's from Africa. She don't really know.
Right.
No offense to y'all. She don't really know. Even though she said, oh, I study black history. Well, you can't study it from the books. You gotta study it from your elders. And that's what like, I was trying to tell her, like, yeah, the book said this, but when you actually listen to your elders or the Black American elders, they'll let you know why they put this in place and why they hid what they hid from us. Like, they're, when you look at any history book, they're going to, like, especially dating back to Africa, they're going to say, well, we don't really know why, or we don't know how this came about, so they're not going to ever tell us the full truth.
Mm-hmm.
So, as far as the Black feminist movement, hell no.
I don't even understand why.
Yeah, I don't agree with it. I probably would never agree with it. First, and because I feel like a lot of the times in the Black feminist movement, it's not even a Black feminist movement, it's the white woman movement that, you know, wanted to have a Black face on it. One, because they wanted to keep it going. Because they're men, and with their ancestors and people have in place to destroy the Black man and the Black woman. And also, it's a personal hidden agenda for homosexuality in our communities. So, when you sit there and break it down, because I still, like, I ask some sisters sometimes, what is your reason? Well, they get paid more than we do. Well, they do more than we do. I want to, like, why do you feel like, though, as a Black woman, you want to be on the same level as your man? I'm scared. I don't want to be. Let his ass pick up them bricks to take out their trash, because I'm not going. I worked all day. I'm taking care of these kids. I'm going to school. I'm doing this. Why do I have to come home and take out trash? This is a lot of these things, they were put in our in place for us to, so we wouldn't have to do certain things. So why is it that you want to be on a fucking ladder and building concrete? If that's what you want to do, fine. But that's a choice that you made as a woman.
Well, I think personally the feminist movement is a little more in depth than it. I feel like as far as, like, especially, like, women in Saudi Arabia, like, how they can't drive. Well, they can drive now, but before they couldn't drive, and they used to go through, like, a lot of prejudice just because they were women. So I do get the feminist movement, but in retrospect, we gotta just understand why it was put in place. Like, that's... Go ahead.
It wasn't put in place for Black women.
Exactly. That's what, like, and that's why I never. Don't, and that's why I can't get down with the movement. But I do get...
Why?
Women was like, exactly. Oh, we need somebody to help us fight. But they all need somebody to help them fight.
But they are fighting against their own men.
Exactly.
But this is the thing. I want to put out there, the reason why I say that is not for Black women is, what in the world more do you want? You got free housing. You got free food. You done got the nigga out your crib. I'm scared. What else could you possibly want? You done kicked him out. You done told him he can't eat. He can't see his kids. He can't do nothing else. What else do you want from him? What else? You just told him no. But I want you to give me more money than you. But I can't see my kids. I can't live in the same house as you. And I can't eat free food like you can as much. Okay? We can't live in a house together. Why? Because the government said it doesn't work that way. It doesn't.
That's true.
So I'm confused. Why are you going to be on the same side as these people who's telling you that you don't need no man? At the end of the day. But you laid down with that man to make them kids. So
you don't
why
need
don't
no
I need
man, but the white man, but the white man ain't even there for you.
The white man don't do not a dag on thing for me, but get on my nerves and be in my business and ask me what I made before I brought it home. Are you retarded? I ain't make nothing. You want me to pay you taxes? I ain't got no taxes for you because I ain't free.
And I just don't agree. And I feel like it's a lot of Black women that's in the feminist movement for whatever lost cause, whatever reason that you're in it, fine. I respect it. I'm just not for it. And as a Black woman, you shouldn't even be involved in the fucking situation. There's no reason why you should be involved. And I think that's another thing that's separating us from actually doing the work that we need to, that needs to be done in our communities. It's too much to being separated. You got the gays over here. You got the straights over here. It's just too many things that's separating. Yes, that's separating us as Black women, period. You don't understand what I'm saying? Instagram models. What the fuck are you? What is your purpose in your community? To take pictures and show them off to girls to show them that, hey, I don't need talent anymore. All I need is a nice ass that I paid for.
I get clothes.
And some cute clothes that I repeat.
And some makeup.
And that's it. And a 30
in a box.
And
the
30-minute
half of them not even in the house.
No, they sleeping on mattresses. On
okay.
The floor.
They got a little box with a little mirror making it look like something. I'm scared for everybody's life. And y'all got the world mixed up and messed up.
I think it's, I want to pick it with something that you said when you said, like, when it comes to, like, the abuse and the in-home abuse. And then you go out there on the streets. And now It's not only two ways. There are several ways that you want to deal with the abuse. You're going to either become the abuser, you're going to become promiscuous, or you're just like all out don't know which way to go in life. So a lot of women turn to lesbian, being a lesbian, or, you know, like it's a lot. I know. I've experienced it. I did it as a kid, lost in the streets, didn't know. The first thing that I knew was affection, which I was missing at home. Mm-hmm. So the first person that showed me affection just happened to be a female. You understand what I'm saying? So I was caught up psychologically in that situation for a very long time because of the neglect, the turmoil, the trauma, everything that I went through as a child. I was pushed out on the streets very young, 15, 16 years old. No clue on who I was and what I wanted or whatever. The only thing that we related to love was sex, because that's what we came from. So the abuse, you know, it leads us to hate men, to hate our men. A lot of our sisters feel that way because of the things that they went through with black men, because they have been abused, because their mothers have been abused. So I think it's definitely a psychological thing. It's definitely mental. But how can we fix this? How can we bridge this gap? How can we fix this? How can we start seeing our brothers in a different light? How can we, you know, get them to see us in a different light? You know, because it's like, it's times where I walk down the street and I'm like, how you doing, black man? And they be like, huh? Like, really, like, oblivious to it. Like, it's crazy. Like, not one are you not getting it at home. You don't even get it from the sisters in the street.
Yeah, it's nothing worse than saying hi to a black man and he look at you like you're crazy.
Like, you fucking crazy.
Or don't even speak at all. Just be like, the fuck? Right. The fuck? Like, not even like,
one told me I ain't black. Well, what the fuck are you? I mean, I know you technically not the color of this laptop, but brother, you know exactly, you know what I'm saying? But then what are you? I'm Indian, or, and then it fucks me up because it's like,
they don't want to even identify with
themselves. Separate yourself from who you really are.
Well, I mean, it depends on where his head was at, because honestly, we're not supposed to be identifying ourselves as color.
Exactly.
So, I mean, if he in that headspace where, I mean, he know what he's talking about, then okay. But if you just on some nut shit like, oh, I'm foreign, like, nigga, fuck out of here.
Yeah, see, that's my issue. Right. And I think that's what it's
playing on my intelligence.
Yeah, and not only you don't really want to come to that on who you are as a person, exactly, because the world is telling you that you know, the black man ain't shit.
Right.
We are clear that America, well, I don't get this whole great again or whatever thing. It has never been great for the black man, and it's really not becoming great for the black woman, because we can see right now how it's affecting us as black women. We're dying at the same rate as our brothers. So we are not protected. And as Malcolm would say, the black woman is the least protected human being, species on this entire earth, the black woman, when really we're not supposed to be, because it wouldn't be here without us. None of you motherfuckers would be here without us. And that's what hurt me the most. And I feel like a lot of it, I get when we talking about these things, we always talking about the brothers. Even with, let's get to the shit that's going on in our city right now. A lot of the sisters are being killed. Wrong place at the wrong time type of situations. But are they really wrong place at the wrong time situations?
I was just about to ask that.
Because there has never been a drug game without a female involved.
Exactly. And this is the thing. See, now it's catching up to everybody. Nobody's safe. Y'all have to wake up and pay attention. Open your eyes. Get out of the game if it's not right for you, first of all. Second of all, it's getting old.
Old as shit.
Okay? And we money, okay? On top of the fact that it's 2019. This was the year of knowledge.
The same
this
money
was the year of getting knowledge. Next year is going to be what you going to do with that knowledge. Half of y'all are obtaining the knowledge, and the other half is just, oh, well, I don't know about change, because change makes me feel weird. Oh, I can't deal with it. Oh, I'm going through something. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to do everything but what I need to be doing and programming myself to do at all times. Let me tell you, the one thing that does not change is change. It's going to always be. Mm-hmm. It's going to always happen. So get with the program. And I mean our program, not theirs.
But that's what I was saying, Puff, right? On the last podcast, even a video I did, I asked, right? Because when we're being raised by our mothers, right? And they're teaching us things. I never was taught the game. I was never taught the streets. I learned that in the streets. Mm-hmm. It was not something that was given to me. Like right now, I give my kids game because mama knows. That's why I say to my daughters, you want to know something, come to Big Dog. Because ain't nobody else out there going, you know, direct you. And if they are, their intent is not going to be right. So what I'm saying is when we're speaking to our daughters about sex, education, the way they're supposed to carry themselves, are we talking about our environments? Are we talking about the people, the monsters that they're going to face when they step out on their street? Because it's kind of when we kicking the knowledge to them, we're keeping them book straight.
Exactly.
We're keeping them book straight. We don't say, oh yeah, you gonna run into Tyrone down the block. He going to be a cell wet or smoke wet, and then can fuck around and become a spousal thing, because a lot of women turn to drugs because of their spouses. You know, it's called spousal addiction. Mm-hmm. You know, so are we preparing our daughters to have are we having these conversations with our daughters about dating drug dealers, mm-hmm. about dating, you know, guys that's in the streets? Because we don't
understand. This is one thing. Okay, so the pop and pill thing, a lot of people say, oh, it kind of died down in Philly. No, it has not.
It died down. People died down.
Popping pills.
Shit.
I've heard that a couple times in Philly.
It died down because everybody on dope.
It has not died down. Guys out here. I saw this young guy around my way the other day. He got to be like 18 to 21. He was so high off them pills, it almost made me cry. And he's a nice rapper. He rap really good. And I mean, I'm not really saying like, oh, he shouldn't be on pills because he's a rapper. He shouldn't be on pills at all. But just the fact that his talent is so immaculate and he is hooked on these fucking pills. Like, the boy was slurring. He was dipping. It was so sad. And he's not even 21 yet. He can't be.
And
it's so sad.
Speaking of that, and let me just say this. And I voiced it on Facebook about what's going on with K-Dot. Mm-hmm. My prayers is out to you. Get through it, K. But it's just that right there. When our people are going through turmoil, trauma, mental health issues, and they turn to drugs, instead of reaching out and saying, you know, you cool. Because first of all, everybody knows if you in the music industry or you in the music platform, period, in Philly, everybody know who K-Dot is. If you don't, then you stay in your lane. Right. But just to see how he came from this, one of the best rappers in the city, very well known, just won awards just last year, the Philly Hip Hop Awards, to turn around and see just a year later that he's addicted to pills, have him shooting up dope on camera, people taking pictures. And what's pissing me off is that these are people that couldn't wait to see him fall. Couldn't wait to see it. Because they wanted, instead of them saying, damn, Kay, or reaching out to family, friends, or whatever that's associated with this boy, they're posting the pictures, posting the videos. He's the bid now. But what we don't realize is we have a culture of brothers that's the bid now. A culture of brothers that's addicted to Percocets. They're rapping about it. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? Oh, I had to be on this drug because the perks had me itching. Or I'm on, you know what I'm saying? And I say this to the older brothers. Stop taking them because your dick won't work no more. No. You're using it to get your dick hard. You're going to need it to get your dick hard later. Trust me. So it's just like to see that and then everybody's just up and posting it. Like, I'm like, well, anybody going to post a fucking post saying, damn, bro. You know what I'm saying? Where you at? He just came home from jail. Mm-hmm. His friends took him to the rehab. He ran from the rehab. Mm-hmm. Somebody got him on camera. Mm-hmm. Shooting dope in Kinston. People are actually getting a kick out of this. Black people have got to the point where we are enjoying each other's trauma and hurt.
We acting because like crab-ass niggas. Bottom of the barrel. Niggas.
But honestly,
it's sad.
It just seems like you ever... And I just want y'all to be honest. You ever, like, get, and I'm even ashamed to say this, but you ever get a relief from somebody doing worse than you? Like, you just had a fucking bad day. And then they tell you about, damn, my day was like this. And you be like, damn, well, I don't feel that bad.
Yeah, I don't think it's a relief. It's not a relief.
It's not a release, but it's just like better.
Somebody had
It just shows you
that
somebody had the worst.
You could have been on a worse predicament.
Right. Not even that. It's like, oh well, I'm doing bad, but that nigga doing bad.
That's like he's bad. Right. So it kind of gives you that mental sense of like, I'm better, but damn, I ain't as worse off than I thought. So, and that's the thing. And it's just really sad. Like, okay, I want to speak about this, period. Since we're talking about black women and how we're killing the motherlyhood, I'm not okay with black women pushing a homosexuality agenda. Black women are too involved in a homosexuality agenda. And I say this because even if I had a gay brother, gay uncle, gay nephew, gay son, it doesn't matter. He's never going to be a yes, bitch.
There's a difference.
It's not happening.
I'm sorry.
It's not happening.
And I'm very honest. And if I offend you,
I'm not here to offend you, but I'm here to just be real. And okay, anybody that knows me knows that.
I don't
agree with it. Period.
There's a difference between
yes, bitch. He's not my sister. He's okay. My brother, uncle, cousin, nephew. That's what he is.
I apologize because y'all might not agree with the terminology, but it's the truth. It's the difference between a faggot and a gay man. Regardless of what your sexual preference is,
because I never heard this before.
Okay, so she said she never heard this before.
I never heard this
before. I have a really big issue. Everybody that knows me knows I have an issue. If you're going to be a gay man, be a gay man. Because one thing for sure, two things for certain, you are a man. You were born a man, you're going to die a man. And then unless you did whatever you did, you're still a man. I don't give a hell what you changed. You are a man. I want you to act accordingly to what you are. Now, what you do on your own time and preference, that's your own time and preference. Don't walk in front of me talking about something. Hey, bitch, how you doing? Because first of all, I don't act like that. I have a problem.
That's right, Auntie.
I don't act like that. So stop doing that. Second of all, you are trying to be something that you completely are not. You will never be a woman. So stop trying to be. If you are gay, that's fine. You choose to do what you want to do. That's fine. But don't come to me and expect me to give you love because you got on a skirt, some boots, and a pocketbook telling my son, what's up, bitch? How you doing? I'm doing good. Great. Awesome. Where are your balls? I'm going to need you to find them and get out my face. That's how I am. I'm sorry if I offended you. Well, no, I'm not. I'm sorry that I'm not sorry because it's the truth and it's real. And y'all wondering why that y'all got all this stuff going on with y'all. Y'all can't figure it out. Y'all confused one minute, not confused next minute. Y'all are doing it to yourselves. It's called a chemical
imbalance.
Thank you.
Period.
You're making yourself be chemically
imbalanced. And I want to. Did you see the Dave Chappelle stand up?
Hilarious.
We're watching it. Real. Soon as we're done.
Okay.
Period.
Real. He was real.
So and the funniest. And but what I've real. Learned just to stay on this homosexuality topic just for a second because I don't want to overstand it or whatever. But I'm going to say my personal opinion about it. Like she said, gay men and faggot. Okay, one, let's take that. Okay, let's not use the term faggot because it came from our oppressors, right? From the butt breaking, right? Mm-hmm. When they used to rape our brothers in front of our families and our children and yes. Break us down mentally because it starts up here. Because when you up here, you gone up here, baby, you gone. So the gay man that knows he's gay, the one that puts on a suit every day, goes to work, still lives his life as his, well, that's his preference. But he's not walking around trying to
encourage other people to be gay.
That's one. And two, he's aware of his sexuality. You know, he carries himself as such. Now, what I've learned from the Dave Chappelle stand-up was, and what I couldn't understand, and after these having these conversations, even after the young man had committed suicide that was dating a transsexual, mm-hmm. and they said it was due to bullying and things like that, but that wasn't even the case. Because he was never afraid of coming out about his sexuality. So, but we have different sectors of the rainbow. So when you have this LGBTQ, which was just added, which means queer, which I don't understand, it's some other shit, but whatever pronoun makes you comfortable, as Dave Chappelle would say, it kind of, we have to understand it in that logic that all of these people are on the same bus, but they're all fighting for different things. Mm-hmm. So we have the gays that know they're, you know, just the, then we have the bisexual women that doesn't really get too much love in that community because they are bisexual. And then you have the transgender, you know, the trans people. So I think that that's where our issue comes from. The issue is being pushed by the trans people. Those that are having trouble not only accepting themselves, but having other people accept them.
Absolutely.
And that's what I learned about the Dave Chappelle stand-up that when they're speaking about the LGBT community, they're not speaking about it as a whole. You had the queers fighting for whatever their rights are, the trans fighting, exactly. So they have their own battle within themselves.
You know what? That's a really good point, and the reason why, like, I can totally agree, because of how, first of all, the whole Caitlyn Jenner situation.
Oh, Lord.
How, like, the whole world just had to accept Caitlyn Jenner and call her and everything. And then how they pushed the whole bathroom gender situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
I got put out of a meeting over that.
And then the bathroom situation where...
Oh, heck yeah.
Right, the all-gender bathroom.
I was called a bully.
I don't agree. Well, what are you trying to teach my children?
This is my next point. My next point is, because they called you a bully, now they're saying, oh, it's hate speech. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you could, like...
I probably got all kinds of
hate. What pissed me off, I'm gonna let you finish and let Emily go. What pissed me off about one being called a bully is because I'm standing for what I believe in. Absolutely. Don't call me a bully because I'm standing because I believe in who I am and what my beliefs are. If you're gay and you're standing for the LGBT community, what is the problem with me standing for the black community? Why is it that when I stand up for my blackness and my righteousness, I am being a bigot you know what I'm saying? I'm being a fucking extremist.
Mm-hmm.
I'm being an extremist because I'm fighting for my equal heterosexual rights. I want my daughters in a bathroom with women. Why I have a fear is because not only does this man is confused about his sexuality, it's too much pedophile bullshit going on in America.
It's so easy for somebody to say, oh, I'm a trans, I'm about to dress up today.
And it's okay.
And then go in the room and sex with your sort of girl.
Exactly.
It's too easy.
Exactly. It's too fucking easy. And what pissed me off, shout out to the witnesses, what pissed me off is because their homosexuality was compared to my fucking color of my skin.
Nowhere, shape, form, or fashion.
That's what pisses me off. You can express what you want to express, say what you want to say, but when I have my opinions or whatever about who I am as a black woman, do not compare my fucking skin color to your choice of your sexual preference.
Thank you.
One thing I cannot change is being a black woman. Definitely. But you can decide one day, that you no longer want to be with a fucking man. You can decide one day that you want to be, what's the guy right now when they did push them to be with a woman? I'm not gay no more.
He's been delivered.
How many of you been delivered
again?
You understand what I'm saying? So don't tell me that because and this was what was said. Well, he's Whitney, you sound just like your oppressor when they said they didn't want to use the bathrooms with you guys. No, they wanted to not use the bathroom with me because of the color of my skin.
Right. Not because he had a dick.
And I had a coochie.
I'ma need y'all to stop comparing homosexuality to me to my blackness. Period.
Because at the end of the day, how could you possibly compare that? Because there are black people
their own justification.
That doesn't make any sense to me. Cause like she said, I'm a piggyback all the way until I'm gone. I did not ask to be this color.
Right.
I was born this color in this skin and I love it.
Is that okay? Sage?
Yes. And that's fine.
We about to get the burning. Okay. All is working.
Okay.
Yes,
the
burning.
Who has the sage on deck?
Okay.
Need to burn this whole timeline.
Okay.
Real stuff. Like at the end of the day, there is no comparing me being an African American woman struggling out here in this godforsaken world,
right,
compared to you choosing to be heterosexual or homosexual or. I'm confused sexual. I don't care what you want to do. At the end of the day.
I cannot wait for you to watch this fucking stand up.
Yeah. I don't care.
Called Sticks and Stones, bro.
So here's my thing with
Dave
Chappelle.
I don't know what sticks or stones.
I'm an avid. I love Dave Chappelle. But I feel like when he came back, I just like, I did watch one stand up. But like
the first one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I watched the first stand up and I was disappointed. Like I felt like, you know what I mean? Like, he came back and, like, we're in a different time. Dave Chappelle was woke before woke was woke.
Hell
you know?
Yeah.
Okay?
Just
remember them block parties that he used to have on the Chappelle Show. Like, mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So I just feel like when he came back in the stand-up, yes, he had white people in his crowd, but I was disappointed. Like, I expected more out of him. So I don't know how the second stand-up is, but that first stand-up, it was just disappointing. I felt like he was just trying to please, like, you know what I mean, that crowd. Like,
right.
He probably didn't even write half the jokes. I don't know.
Exactly. And I think I can agree. One, I was happy to see him back. I was all the way happy to see him back too. Because we all know the reason why he wasn't there.
Right.
Or the reason why he had stepped back or whatever. Right. Whether he's the real Dave Chappelle or a fucking clone.
Maybe.
Because we're never oblivious to that truth. So I feel like this second one
is really addressing
the things that he's always talked about, and he was very unapologetic about it, and that's what I enjoyed the most. I learned a lot as well, but he just showed the double standard. Mm-hmm. He showed the double standard in this world, period, when it comes to us and how they operate about doing things. And I don't want to give too much away because you haven't seen it, and those that you haven't seen, I suggest you go watch it. And then they were talking about it on The View this morning, how people were offended and they wanted to come down. And I feel like the only people that are offended are the white people and the gay people. Because some of the people that I know that were white that watched it and are gay thought it was fucking hilarious.
I had friends on Facebook
that was like, I watched it. What the fuck was so, what was offensive about it? Nothing was offensive. It's only offensive when it's going against your agenda.
Exactly.
That's it.
Exactly. And some of the things that he said could have easily offended me because he touched some bases. But at the end of the day, he didn't. It was a real life situation. And I appreciate and I respect it because he took it straight from how I always looked at it. And nobody want to mention it. And it's crazy because everybody want to be on a hush-hush about what goes on certain characteristics and life and housing and homes and being touched and all of that. And he hit it so hard on the head that it made me laugh because he was so fucking truthful. It was...
You give, it's like hits the nerve. Like, you know what I mean? Like, sometimes when somebody just... That's just like when you talking to somebody about your pain and they start giving you the best advice of your life. It might not be something that you want to hear at that moment. It's unsolicited, but at the same time, it's the truth and you can't really run away from it.
You can't deny it.
I feel like that's what we run away from a lot in society. The truth, like...
They're not ready.
Is that my father?
They're not ready for it. And the reason why they're not ready for it is
because
they can't accept themselves yet. They haven't forgiven themselves. Or the thing that I always said, anybody that know me know that I have
it's my father,
a story to tell.
Hey, hi to my dad. My dad's on my line.
Hey,
how
dad.
You even get on my Facebook? You're not my friend. How did you get here? Somebody, yeah, it is. How did you get here? You're not my friend.
Hey, dad.
It's my dad.
I ain't seen you in
Somebody's trying to call us. Oh, that's the woman you had me with. She's calling.
Hey, Mom.
Said, this is Parents Interrupt Whitney podcast today. Huh? It's not going down. I'm trying to get rich. Y'all going to nursing homes.
I didn't say it.
But talking about what's good, I am that guy. You are old.
Let it go.
I'm done.
God.
Oh, come on.
Give
Pop the tea.
God. Somebody call your baby mama because she's interrupting the podcast. Come on, that.
Wait. At the end of the day, I feel as though.
Hey, my dad's on my line.
Hey, Bree.
There are so many.
Hey.
Hey, how you doing?
Baby.
Go ahead.
I feel like as though at the end of the day, a lot of people got to step up.
We all got to step up. Everybody.
It's called
everybody has a
purpose. It's
called black women. We.
Yes.
Everybody.
Be accountable for your actions. Stop trying to hide behind these men because a lot of times it's us too. Okay, that's number one. Number two, I want to just quickly, and then I'm gonna let it go. I always share this. There's a difference between survivors and conquerors, okay? Mm-hmm. I'm going to need y'all to come out and become conquerors.
Explain this. Hold up.
Okay, so a survivor. Some years ago, when I first got over my situation, I was a survivor. I went through it every night. I still had the nightmares, but I woke up that morning and I realized it was over. I survived the night. You feel me? There are some that are still surviving every day. Every day they wake up, they're going through something, they got to survive that day. I am now a conqueror. conquered a day.
I conquered my day, okay? I don't go through all of that. Listen, it happened. It did what it did. I done learned my lesson. I'm conquering each day. I need y'all to come on and conquer each day, okay? Because we are dying for our lack of knowledge and stupidity.
And our health too. Health is very important.
Yes, we
are. Yeah, because I almost passed out.
We definitely gonna have to do a podcast on that. I got my black tag on you today, gang, gang.
I was taking a kid to the hospital. I end up in the hospital. I need somebody to inform me what's going on. Never had low sugar before.
If we can get,
Is that low sugar?
And Dad, I know you on here. This is why I am who I am. But I'm going to say this, don't diss my dad. Only I can. I'll whoop your ass. I'm going to say I need to be in a room and we need to really sit down and have a dialogue with sisters like myself that are fatherless daughters and break down what's really has broken us. Because us not having, or me not having my father there, like I said, Tony, we'll talk about it. You just happen to come on here and this is the whole, kind of the universe. If we can break down exactly what we've missed, the things that we could have gained and things of that nature to maybe we can kind of attack, where we're hurting at, because a lot of it start like me, I started with childhood depression. My depression started in childhood and it followed me to my adulthood. The anxiety followed me from my childhood to my adulthood. This year, I was diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder and clinical depression. You understand what I'm saying? Because when they look at my records and where I came from and the things that I've done and things that I've went through, this is a repeated thing for me, shutting down. A lot of times you be like, sis, what's up? We supposed to link. A lot of times it's not because wit's not active or wit doesn't want to do it. A lot of times it's my depression don't allow me to. My depression don't allow me to go to bed or get up in the morning. My depression doesn't push me to work. It comes with the program because I have to continue to tell myself, wit, you have a bigger purpose on this world. People are counting on you. You have to do this. This is what you were put here for. But that doesn't stop that doesn't change the fact that this shit paralyzes me. It paralyzes me mentally. To where though my physical doesn't move.
I'm glad that you're speaking on this because you're not the only one going through this. I can't say I'm going through it personally, but I know so many girls like you.
Hell yeah.
It's a real statement. I see it on Facebook all the time. People don't even dig it how real depression is. Some people are living just because of their kids. I am an eyewitness and a living testimony. I live because of my children. My children pulled me out. They saved my life. My baby boy, Bobby, Big A Bobby. I love you.
Which is we're definitely going to do a podcast again this week, like probably 3 episodes, because like I'm just loving the way this is going. So after we're done here, we're wrapping up. We're going to, just touch some things for the 2 more episodes this week just to close this out. But like I said, I think that we need to get, each other in the room. And that's why I created Black Girls Are Healing too, because Black girls are healing.
We are.
You understand what I'm saying? And it doesn't, just because it's not in front of you, you don't see it. The human eye doesn't see it. We are in the healing process. There are Black people, Black women that's fighting against our oppressors, our own men. I think we should get into that in the next episode, or we can just keep going. It doesn't matter to me, but when we're, Nana, we're talking about it, and I'm like, where are these sisters' minds at? Some of us are fatherless, some of us are fatherless and motherless children, and then we had to learn to raise ourselves on our own. If you weren't taught how to really properly raise yourself, how are you going to teach your, how to be raised? Because I became a mom at 21, and I had no fucking clue what was going on. I went back home to my mother. That was my only go-to. Like, who else am I going to go to? Who's else going to follow me through this journey? Yes, I've learned how to be a woman and a mom over the years, but it doesn't come with a handbook. And when you're broken from the beginning, how do you fix yourself? You can't. Some of us just don't know how to fix ourselves. I think with us being rebels, born rebels, this is not, we are born rebels. You don't wake up one day and get a badge and say, hey, you're a rebel.
Right.
It doesn't work that way. I was born a rebel. I had my women in my family, my grandfather, I was born a rebel. Same. And at first I was looked at as the black sheep. But I think now that the universe and everybody's starting to see what we see and what we've been saying is, oh, now she's in power, sister. She's a sister that's for us. Oh, she's for us now. I'm not the black sheep no more. Now I'm goddamn... now right. I'm one of the sisters.
I know all too well. Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? So I think, like, if we have more of us having these conversations, conversing and coming together
and
talking about these things and really putting it... really putting it, go through it for your damn battery.
Thank you.
You are so embarrassed.
That's
I think that'll work if we just are able to attack, you know, our trials and tribulations. So I've known it's a lot of sisters that was on here. You guys never really tell me what you think. You just, Antia, hey Kirk. Damn pain in my ass on Facebook.
Hey everybody.
That's I think that's it. Like, we just, now that I've talked about it, I'm not as mad, I guess. But I'm still angry and it's still a lot of work to be done. I'm sorry.
It is. Because
like, y'all can start by stop programming your sons. He's not your man. He's not your king. Like, and that's another thing. The emasculation of the black man from the black woman. I've touched that topic already. If you guys are following the podcast, you've seen that I did several episodes on the emasculation of the black man that's coming from the black woman.
Wow.
And actually, where is it? It's deep rooted. It's deep, very deep rooted. It's very deep rooted. And I think sometimes they call it post-traumatic stress disorder. You know, when you have a baby and you're not happy. And that I have to really do some more research on that because I'm trying to figure out exactly where that comes from or why it leads you that way. But I know for sure, without the post-traumatic stress disorder, a lot of times it comes from the hate that you have for the person that you had a baby with. Mm-hmm. It's not because of your hormones. It's because that you decided to keep a baby with a man that clearly showed you he wasn't shit from day one, but you in your mind made him be to something that he wasn't. So now that he's no longer here, you done poured that hate into that baby. Now I know 100 crack babies or whatever can get on here and talk about it.
Well, I'm gonna say post-traumatic stress syndrome is a little bit more serious than that.
Definitely.
Only reason why I say that is because I've seen and heard couples who have, like, women
both suffered?
Not couples suffering, but like women who are married in a happy marriage have that baby and then they have post-traumatic stress syndrome. And I feel like it has more so to do with the woman, because when we think about it, when we think about hormones and we think about chemicals, like, right, our body secretes chemicals inside that deals with our daily emotions and we don't even understand. That's why I said health is so important, and like the way we eat is so important, because the chemicals that we secrete in our body, it definitely plays on our emotions, everything. Like, it's, I don't know, post-traumatic,
yes, it's that, real, it's, it is serious.
See, I wasn't disregard, I think we need to learn how to identify it. Exactly what it is. Because a lot of times it's not post-traumatic stress disorder. And I'm not even saying that with us, because a lot of times when black women go through things with their babies, like, we had a lot of sisters right now that's killing their babies.
Yes.
Killing their babies, yes, constantly. We see it right now. That's killing their babies. The sister on Erie Avenue just killed her babies. You understand what I'm saying? So I think we need to identify mental illness from post-traumatic stress disorder. You know, so if you have a detachment from your baby, that's something that's kind of visible.
Right.
But like, if you're, sit down, dumbass, right, I hate you. You, yes, look just like your fucking father. Ooh. Shit like that.
I didn't ask for you to be here.
Coming from a deep-rooted place. From either your childhood, definitely your childhood.
Definitely,
because
definitely.
I have somebody that's close to me, that's around me, and it disgusts me to hear her speak to her children.
Mm-hmm.
Like, seriously.
The worst thing I hate, I can say, I hate when these women call their daughters bitches.
They be babies!
And they be, why are you calling this baby a bitch? Do you remember what a bitch is? It's a female dog. So you think you just gave birth to a female dog? So your baby got four legs, a tail, some... I'm trying to figure out and bark. I'm confused.
I was 14 years old. In middle school. Pepper Middle School. And I remember the first time my mom called me a bitch. Mm-hmm. My skin tore.
Mm. My fucking skin tore. My mom barely rehearsed it.
Because this was something that you heard in the streets. And when men mm-hmm. would say this to a woman, this was like degrading. This mm-hmm. was something next to spitting on you.
Yes, that was the most.
So to hear that come from the number one person in my life. It did something to me that nobody can explain. My daughters are 11 and 8, and they hear me call other bitches, but they don't never, ever, as long as I can consciously control myself, it would never be a word spit to them.
Whole bitch,
to grade them, and then I say, "Are you fucking crazy? Is something wrong with you? Do you need a name with your check or with a check with your name on it?" Okay. Just to let them, because this is only something, like I said, I don't want to pour too much into what, like, the next episode I want to have with y'all, but it's just those things, now that we're talking about it, it's those things that are detrimental to the mind and to the woman. So now I'm starting to pick apart exactly why our sisters are being this way, why they are exploiting themselves, because a lot of the times the exploitation that's going on now, nobody's doing it. We're doing it ourselves. A lot of it is coming from self-hate. You got some sisters that can't even look in the mirror and see themselves without makeup. I have some sisters that I see on my timeline sometimes. Oh my God, I need my lashes. Right. But you got lashes.
You wasn't
they right here.
Right.
But the fact that you feel unpretty, shout out to TLC, the fact that you feel unpretty without your lashes goes to show me that you are having problems loving on you. You understand what I'm saying? And I had to get to that point. I was never really the hype type, bundles type broad. I'm not spending $500-$600 on no bundles, bitch. That's a squatter. Okay. That's gonna get me from A to B. Okay. That's a fucking first down payment on a crib. Yeah. I'm just built different. You understand what I'm saying? I can't put $500 on no hair. Can I fucking sleep in it?
Okay.
Can
is it
I
gonna
sleep
brush
in it?
This on? Is it gonna wash?
What
it
is this gonna? I'm
is
good.
It gonna come out my head when I need it to come out?
This shit better blow dry itself and everything.
Okay. It better come with its own
manual. Glue and patches, bitch.
You better come with a whole other human.
That's scary.
I'm telling you, like, I'm just not that. But you see now, like, you'll see. In the welfare office, since you went here getting benefits from the government, but you walk around with $500, $600 hair in your hair.
Never go to the welfare office fresh. Ever.
Like,
they be going there.
I am the biggest
bum. And then have the nerve to look at you because you looking crazy. Honey, I'm on public welfare. I need to come in here looking like I'm on public welfare.
And that's what I was getting to. The self-love thing. Because, like, what I was saying is I was never really big on that. But I had very bad self-esteem issues coming up. And I was I'm a romantic. So I was always easily persuaded and things like that. It took experience and hurt to kind of be like, nigga, back the fuck up. Okay? This ain't that.
Okay.
But I am a romantic. You know, and I've always believed in love. And I've always loved in myself. But it was a part of me that was still broken. And that's what I had to realize, that I was attracting certain people because of the person that I am, the broken person in me. And then like Cat Williams said, bitch, you got ain't shit pussy. Sis, it ain't that your pussy ain't shit. It's that you broken and you keep looking for change. It's like insanity. You keep looking for a different result in the same nigga. It may not be the same individual, but you're definitely dating the same type of men. So if you keep going down north on Diamond Street looking, thinking you gonna find a motherfucking king or gentleman, sis, nah, sis.
That's me. I'm sis.
I always kept trying to figure out, but I ended up with an old.
Stay your ass.
Period.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, ain't nothing wrong with having an educated hood nigga. I love. It ain't even getting wet if it ain't hood. Period. That's fact. But.
I need you to be a little educated. I need you not
niggas
to be 50 or 60.
Hold on, hold on. It's some real niggas that's educated.
Thank you.
Why does the grandpops keep coming to me?
I don't mean no more. But I'm saying, you know what I'm saying? It's just a level of love. It's a level.
Uh-oh, the baby.
Uh-oh, the king is up, clearly. Simba. Yup.
Hi.
baby.
Shout out to everybody that's on the podcast listening. Thank you so much for listening. And we have 2 more episodes coming this week. I'm not waiting. We're going to do this week. But I just want to say shout out to everybody that listens, all my supporters, all my followers. Thank you so much. And y'all already know how ladies do. I keep it 100. No sugarcoating shit. My guest, my sis Puff, Emily A. We will be back this week.
What up, though?
What's up, y'all?
Okay, how you gonna get on somebody's podcast?
We gonna get about the younger generation later on, because they ain't got no damn sense.
No sense, and the head too big. He just tumbled, rolled.
Some of my head like, right?
I like to be.
He don't know what he like
get
to be.
Get head. Bobby B about to get it.
I know.
So, Nana, I'm gonna get off of here.